recapping the weekend in sports and previewing the week ahead. This is FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Orwig and Corey LaBounty.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, FM Talk 106.5 coming in for the win as always. I'm with your two hosts, Dalton Norwig, the man with two last names, Corey LaBounty, in the studio with you guys on this fine Monday evening. And of course, as always, if you want to get in on the conversation, you can text your questions, thoughts, comments, concerns to 1251-243. No, check that.
Close.
343. Yeah, 343. I'm out of it. I'm out of it tonight, fellas. 0106. And there's going to be a lot of that tonight. And if we get to some NBA, I've got something else to say to you Lakers fans.
Oh, wow.
So we're ready.
Thank you. Thank you, Ian. And which of the two of us has the two? Is it me with the two last names?
It's Corey.
Corey has the two. Okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure, you know, because Dalton is also known as the last name. So I didn't know if you were referring to
him. I have no recollection of anybody else having the last name of Orwig anywhere. Like, I've heard of Orville, like Orville Wright, you know, uh-huh. But never anything like that. I've heard of plenty of bounties, though. Just the lie parts throw me off, man.
So you're listening to Sports Night, FM Talk 106.5, and Corey and I have discussed this. I think what we're going to do, we're going to switch the theme music when we begin the show over to, what's the name?
Ray Clay, Chicago Bulls introduction.
The Chicago Bulls introduction song. And what did you say the name of it is? I never.
It's Ray Clay. He's the
okay.
He
Ray
the
Clay made
PA
it. And, all right. And then we're going to get Ian to give us a full-on NBA introduction into the show. And I should have had that ready to start this week. We're going to wait and do it next week. But until then, this is what you got: Sports Night FM Talk 106.5. Dalton Orwig, Corey LaBounty, and Ian Blair with you. And big show tonight. For only 1 hour, we're getting as many guests in as we can. So we'll have two people on the show with us tonight. And I know this coming Saturday, it's A-Day Saturday. Alabama's playing. Auburn's playing. Even South Alabama having their spring game. Jags don't call it A-Day. The other two schools do. So we should be giving equal time to Alabama and Auburn tonight. But that's not how it works. And, Corey, you know this. Even when you're on the Auburn station, that's not how it works. So we're going to have Unique Thompson coming up in the second segment of the show tonight, a former Faith Academy Ram who went on to Auburn to play SEC women's basketball and, well, tore up the record books after putting her own name in them at Auburn and the NBA, WNBA draft coming up here soon. So we'll talk with Unique about what it's like to leave Auburn and head off into a future that she does not know what will happen. And then coming up in the at the bottom of the hour, Justin Ferguson with the Auburn Observer. Plenty to get to with him because you have A-Day coming up this Saturday. Brand new team. Brand new head coach in Brian Harsin. What will they look like, and what is he expecting to find out about the team this week? And we have to talk basketball, too. I mean, Sharif Cooper was the story of Auburn basketball this last year. They had a self-imposed suspension, no postseason play, so we didn't really have a whole lot to talk about with the Auburn basketball team this last year. I think that changes this coming year with a lot of new guys coming on. So, Corey, I wanted to kind of compare last week after our show – one of maybe the most boring national championship mm-hmm. games in a very long time. And I think it was pretty similar. My Monday night was pretty similar to my Sunday yesterday watching the Masters because, well, at least in the college basketball game, I thought that one team would maybe blow the other out, and it was the team that ended up getting blown out. But more than anything, I thought we were going to have a good back-and-forth game last Monday. And if you would have told me going into round four of the Masters – that one person would pull ahead by four strokes, lead by six at one point, and then hang on and win it, and it'd be a really boring round of golf. I wouldn't have expected that either, but that's exactly what we got. A blowout, Gonzaga loses their undefeated season, and then a blowout at the Masters, Hideki Matsuyama wins it all. A couple boring, for two games that are talked about going into for weeks, They ended up being pretty boring this year.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's going back to last Monday night's basketball game. I had the Zags winning it, and they were absolutely dominated from start to finish. Something you can call it fatigue. I don't think it was fatigue. I just think that Baylor played that much better than the Zags did. And congratulations to Baylor securing their first ever national championship. And then yesterday at the Masters, when you start looking at the leaderboard for Thursday and Friday, you don't think that you're going to have the winner that you did have.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, toward the end, after the 13th hole yesterday, it gets a little bit more competitive. I think it was more nerves than anything else.
Yeah.
But you always like to see fresh faces win the Masters. And if you had money on Hideki, you definitely cashed in.
No doubt about that. I can't remember what he was going off at before the tournament. Probably somewhere 30-40 to 1, he might have been at better odds than that, because it's a guy who's been playing well, but obviously you become the first Japanese man to win a major, you've done something pretty spectacular. And it was just, you know, Justin Rose took off in the first round, mm-hmm. Outshot everyone. I think he had the first round lead by, was it 4 strokes?
Was I want to say
5 strokes.
Four. Yeah.
And then Hideki, you know, Rose kind of falls apart in day two, and you have a bit of a close overall round coming into Saturday, and then Hideki, after the rain break, just completely leaves the rest of the field behind, does come back a little bit, but you didn't get that. Even when Tiger won, it was about Tiger winning, and the hordes of people following him up the fairway as he went for that last major. And even last year, it was a COVID tournament, and one guy just took off from the field, just like we saw this weekend. But that was Dustin Johnson, and mm-hmm. at least at that point, he was chasing history for, you know, record-breaking Masters score, which he ended up getting, I think, finishing at 22 under for the weekend. But you didn't have much of that at all yesterday, and it was kind of the same as the basketball game on Monday night. You don't think it was fatigue that slowed Gonzaga down. I was thinking, you know, UCLA probably played as big a hand in that role of that blowout loss as anyone that isn't on the Baylor team.
You know, I didn't think fatigue played an issue. I just thought Baylor sat down and guarded and just really clamped down. And This is the Baylor team that we saw prior to the COVID situations hitting that team back in December, to where they missed almost a month and several games. And they really got it in gear and sat down and guarded tremendously.
And I thought, you know, going in, I rated it, the guards maybe equal. Baylor showed that with a couple guys who could play in the NBA, they just dominated. And really, you know, we talked with Ronnie Arrow on last night's show, and he called it exactly right. The only way really for Gonzaga to have won that game would have been Timmy coming out and doing what he did the 3 games prior to, where he was just – the offense ran through him. He put up all the points. He had a cold night, and that's what you end up with, the 16-point Bulldogs loss.
Jared Butler was a tremendous leader for Baylor. And, you know, you finished the season 28-2, and the Zags only 1 loss on the season. That's the hardest part to deal with if you're the Zags, knowing that you go – I would have rather lost earlier than to have lost that championship game and missed a chance at perfection. But, you know, that 76 Indiana team was popping corks and popping bottles to know that they're still that last team since 76.
Yeah, just like the Miami team, whenever somebody finally loses,
absolutely.
Indiana had to feel the exact same way. I think going forward in college basketball and in golf, to completely tie the two together, is a lot more parity. And specifically for college basketball, we're seeing it right now with what's happening with the South Alabama team after the season ended. The team that shows up next year in the Mitchell Center is going to look absolutely nothing like the team that wrapped up the season in Pensacola at the Sun Belt Tournament this year. Almost every player, save one or two, that saw playing time this year is now gone. And pretty much every player that's going to get good playing time next year was playing on another team earlier this year. And that the transfer portal is the main reasoning behind that. But when you have players switching teams like they are now, guys leaving Auburn, guys coming to Auburn, guys leaving Alabama, guys coming to, I think we'll get more and more of the small school colleges that people haven't heard of that do well in the tournament. And that bodes well for South, too, for basketball.
It does in this situation, but I like to see the continuity. I think I saw today where the NCAA dead period, they're actually going to get back to some sense of normalcy starting on June the 1st.
Okay, good.
Meaning college coaches can now go watch these high school student-athletes at these AAU tournaments, at these 7-on-7 tournaments, which will get it back to normal. I'm not a huge fan of the transfer portal currently as it stands. I understand it because of the COVID restrictions, giving athletes an extra year of eligibility, I'm for. But I'm all for Michael Flowers from South Alabama going to Washington State now, a Pac-12 school that I'll enjoy watching because he'll have an opportunity to enhance his stock, and we can say he wants – put on that South Alabama uniform.
Yeah, it just that move, I guess it makes sense. You'll have to make it make more sense to me. It seems more of a lateral move than anything, but I know it's not. Washington State, Pac-12, Power 5 conference, South Alabama isn't. But he got all the playing time last year.
He did.
It was going to be the same thing this year. I don't know. Coming back, we'll continue the basketball talk. Unique Thompson, former Faith Academy Ram, went out and set some records at Auburn. She's coming up next right here on Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5. All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. Dalton Orwig, Corey Labounty, Ian Blair with you on this Monday night. And what a great opportunity here to speak with our next guest and the WNBA draft coming up this Thursday night, Corey. And it'll be broadcast, and we will be hoping to hear the name of a former Faith Academy Ram who went and played some college ball with the Auburn Tigers. Unique Thompson joins us tonight on Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5. Unique, thank you so much for coming on the show with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure, Unique. And I've had the opportunity to watch you since your freshman year coming in at Faith Academy, watched you continue to grow there and sign with the Auburn Lady Tigers. And tell me a little bit what went into your mindset coming out of high school committing to Auburn.
It was just really just being grateful to have the opportunity. I knew that this wasn't really something that most people thought that I would be doing, you know, being able to commit and just play on a higher level, and especially in the SEC with it being such a tough conference. So just having the mindset to just know that what I had to do and just to be able to have the opportunity to do it.
And you did such an outstanding job. You came in immediately as a true freshman and got great playing time for the Auburn Tigers. And you all were very successful earlier in your career as a freshman and sophomore. But talk to us how that early playing time as a true freshman helped you develop until your senior year.
Yeah, it was just gaining the trust from Coach Flo. You know, that was instilled in me into my freshman year. And just the years of me being there, it just grew. My relationship got stronger as well, so that's what helped me my senior year. But my freshman year, she told me what she needed me to do to help the program excel, especially in my position. And so that was just one of the main things that just helped me in my career to prosper.
Unique, so I think when you look back at these 3 years of playing ball for the Auburn Tigers, whether it's 20 years from now, 30 years, you'll look back and say, wow, I played during like two of the 3 years I played were the weirdest in college basketball history, because going into your sophomore season, everything was fine, nothing strange at all. You get to the end of the year, and they just cancel the tournaments because of this pandemic. And then this year, same thing, such a odd way to go about playing a season. Do you think, you know, that may have built an extra layer of toughness, or what do you think you'll look back on this time and say, wow, I used that time to become so much better at this?
Oh, yes, I definitely will. And it did grow extra layer of toughness, not only physically but mentally as well. Just having to adapt to so many things on the fly and just change, not being able to play 1 week and then having to play just and prepare in a day or 2 days, just having to prepare your mind quickly and fastly just with all the changes being made. So, yeah, it will definitely be a story to tell 30 years from now.
you look at your career statistics at Auburn, you average 14.1 points per game, 10.6 rebounds a game, and that's just being the double-double queen is what a lot of people labeled you as. You finished at Auburn's all-time leader in total rebounds and also all-time leader in double-doubles, and that tied for the seventh most in SEC women's basketball history. Dalton just touched on it. When you reflect back, I know when you went off the floor in that SEC tournament, taking off your jersey for the last time, talk to me about the emotions and having an opportunity now about a month later to look back at your stellar career and the records you were able to accomplish.
Looking back on it now, even though it's been a month since I took off my jersey for the last time, it still hasn't really set in because, of course, preparing for the draft and working out still. So that kind of just took my mind into another direction. But still thinking about it, it was just crazy. You know, it's been a wild ride, 4 years. There have been many challenges that I overcame as well and just growing as a person too. So, I mean, just looking back on it, I'll just be able to say that I did something that even I didn't think that I would be able to do because I surprised myself in many ways and the accomplishments and the accolades that I did receive that I am so very grateful and thankful for. But just looking back on it, it has been a journey. And I wouldn't trade it for anything.
What's the process like from, well, not from here on out, but what was it like from as you came near the end of your season this year? WNBA draft is kind of on the horizon, and it's obviously at the forefront of your mind. Did you talk to any scouts after your last game, or how do you come up with the decision to say, you know, I'm entering now. I think right now is the time to enter the WNBA.
Well, I had a lot of agents reach out to me, so it was basically like a recruiting process all over again, which was really overwhelming. And all of them kept saying that you're going to be drafted. So just hearing that reassurance from every agent that reached out to me to sign with their agency, it was just like, well, you know, everybody is saying it, so I guess it is time for me to step into the new season of my life.
And that new season of your life, you were able to have a great academic career at Auburn as well. I know coming out of high school when we had you on the Prep Sports Report, you talked about wanting to help young people and giving back to special needs. Talk to us about, I know the WNBA draft is coming up, but no one can ever take away that degree and what you want to do after that ball stops bouncing.
Yes, and that has been my main focus outside of basketball, you know, just spending time in the community, volunteering here at different sites, and especially it's a place here called Bravehearts. It's a center for place and purpose where I work with young adults who have disabilities daily. So just having that time to just be able to grow in my profession and in my career, it didn't do anything but just build the reassurance that I needed and just boost how much that I am ready to get the ball rolling with that within my organization.
Now, not only that, you had a very special flair to your game. You turn on the television and, I don't know, tell me who the motivation was for you to wear lipstick during the basketball games. Because, you know, you see some fingernails are done and some people have long eyelashes, but you chose to go the lipstick route. Tell me a little bit about where that motivation came from.
It honestly just came from myself, really. I was new to basketball, so I didn't know about Tina Thompson until everybody started comparing me to her whenever I got to college with the lipstick wearing. But whenever I was in high school, I just fell in love with makeup tutorials, so I got good at them, and that's when I began to grow into the different shades of lipstick. And so red was just the one that I loved the most because it was just the brightest out of all of them that I wore. So that was the one that I chose to wear in games.
I love seeing it because it really made you stick out. And again, your game, anytime you can be compared to a WNBA great, Tina Thompson, that's something good because both of you guys defensively and rebounding were machine-like. Preparing for this WNBA draft, you talked about working out. I've seen in mock drafts, some have you in the late first round, early second round. Do you have any preferences and what has the workout process been like since the end time at Auburn?
The workout process has been a bit different because I've been maintaining my own schedule, so I don't have, you know, the Auburn women's basketball. Just getting the reminders of workouts at this time or weights at this time. So it's just been time management for real. But other than that, everything has been great, I will say. And I don't have a preference. I'm just grateful to have the opportunity and to be able to get my name called.
Unique, I'm sure you've played some ball against some really good basketball players, but have you done anything you feel that'll maybe prepare you for this step up in competition? Is there really anything outside of getting out there and playing that can prepare you to go from playing in SEC women's basketball to the top of the game?
I wouldn't say that there is. I mean, just competing in the SEC, having the competition that you go through night in and night out, I would say that's the best preparation that anybody could ask for.
Well, I can tell you, I was biased to where I definitely thought you were first-team All-SEC-er. And I do have a question. One-on-one, who's going to win, you or your brother, Jalen?
Of course I'm going to say me.
I love it. I love it. Now, if you get him down in the post, I know you're going to punish him and continue to beat up on him, because I know he tried to take you to the post or try to beat you with his quickness. But I think you're going to do an outstanding job for whatever organization drafts you later on in this week in the WNBA draft. And you'll kind of fall in the means of Shanice McKinney, the former LSU LaFleur High School standout. And just looking forward to watching you succeed and taking that next step in life. And thank you for all that you continue to do, not only for the Auburn community, but for the Mobile, Alabama community, and being such a positive female role model.
Thank you so much.
All right. Unique Thompson, thanks so much for coming on, and hopefully we'll talk again once you know your WNBA destination.
Yes. Thank you all for having me.
All right. Unique Thompson, Auburn Tiger, former Faith Academy Ram. And, well, Corey, I mean, you just said it right there. You mentioned her. With another great that played women's basketball down here in Mobile. She's got to be one of the best to ever come from here, right?
Just so solid. And if you were to tell me that she would have been Auburn's all-time leader in rebounds and double-doubles, that's just an amazing fact when you start talking about the history of Auburn's women's basketball and the fact of the respect that she gained throughout the SEC.
She'll go right there in the record books where she belongs. Coming back, more Auburn type talk. Justin Ferguson, Auburn Observer. We'll ask him about A-Day this coming Saturday. Maybe even sneak in a basketball question. This is Sports Night, FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. Dalton Orwig, Corey Labounty, and Ian Blair with you. I want to thank Unique Thompson, former Faith Academy Ram. And I guess, is she already a former Auburn Tiger, or is she still technically?
I would say former.
Okay, she's a former Auburn Tiger, and especially once she gets drafted later this week. So thanks to Unique for coming on with us. And I guess we have a theme tonight. We're pretty easy to figure out. We're talking Auburn. And who better when you're talking Auburn to have on than Justin Ferguson with The Auburn Observer. I guess, Justin, it's your site, so would you be The Auburn Observer or would you be With Auburn Observer? I think you're The Auburn Observer, right?
I'll take it. I'll take The Auburn Observer. Yeah, it's just a one-man operation for the most part. I got my buddy running the podcast with me, so I'll take it. I'll take the single name.
Man, some great content there. Obviously, if you're an Auburn fan, you want to check it out. How can people sign up?
Yeah, absolutely. AuburnObserver.com is where you go check out what we got. $6 a month or $60 a year. We have subscription plans for both of them. And what we do is it's a subscription newsletter. Every day, close to every day, we're posting either a story or a podcast. You get it in your email inbox. Most mornings about 6 a.m. Central Time and send it in there. And, yeah, covering all things Auburn football and men's basketball, doing a lot of analysis, a lot of stats, a lot of strategy, a lot of stuff like that. So trying to give folks something that they don't normally get everywhere else. So hopefully anybody listening can sign up there.
It's totally worth it. Some great content. And I imagine your page views probably began ticking up again this week now that A-Day is on the way, football feeling more and more real. And for the first time in a few years, Auburn goes into the season without a coach on the hot seat, because it seems like this time every year we're talking about, is this the year they get rid of Gus? And they finally did. Brian Harsin coming in. What have you seen from Harsin these first couple weeks of practice? What do you think will stand out the most to Auburn fans that don't know anything about this guy and they see his team roll out on Saturday?
Yeah, this is, I think, the best way to describe what Auburn's about to go to as a program is pro style. And I say that on the offensive side. I say that on the defensive side. And I say that also – you know, on the just in the approach to a lot of things. Brian Harsin, the first thing anybody will tell you about Brian Harsin is he is detail-oriented. The dude is all business. He is very, very meticulous about how he wants things to run. And he's changed the way kind of Auburn approaches a lot of stuff and practices. You know, they did a bunch of things under Gus, you know, that were effective, but this is just a new, different way of going about it. And offensively, you're going to see Auburn, you know, run some stuff under center. You're going to see them use a fullback from time to time. You're going to see them run two tight ends on the field, but you'll still see them also at times spread it out, play fast paced. It is a kind of pro style offense. Mm-hmm. Defensively, with Derek Mason on board, you're going to get a defense that looks a lot more in line to what you see in the NFL. And that means you got to be able to be a three down front defense, a four down front, combinations of coverages in the back end, linebackers who can kind of do some of everything, true edge defenders that can stand up or put their hand in the dirt. That's kind of what you get, and that's his MO. This is what he had at Boise State. Brian Harsin was successful for as long as he was, picking up where Chris Peterson left off. Because at Boise State, you don't get the best recruits in the world. And right. So you have to commit yourself to a process, be very detail-oriented, get everything rolling the way you want it to. And now the great experiment with Brian Harsin at Auburn is, can that style work just with SEC caliber football talent? So a lot of fun to see. I think people who watch the 8A game on Saturday, they'll see some stuff you haven't seen before from Auburn, or at least something you haven't seen in a very long time.
Justin, I think one of the interesting aspects of this new Auburn football team is you have somebody coming over from the West Coast who really wasn't familiar with the landscape of the Southeastern Conference, and I think that's why Coach Mason was such a critical hire. But now this past week, he comes in and has a new director of high school relations, and it's a former guy from right here in Spanish Fort, Alabama, in South Alabama, in Brett Bedsole, and he's a former Auburn Tiger, so I think that helps tremendously at especially with these restrictions starting to be lifted by the NCAA moving into June and moving forward into your new recruiting cycle for 2022.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, when Brian Harsin came, he did a good job, I think, of putting together a staff, and not just your assistants, guys, you know, guys like Brady, like guys who are going to be in that support staff role that keeps everything ticking. And it's a mixture of guys he knows and trusts from his time at Boise State, guys he's crossed paths with out on the West, but then also getting some SEC guys in the picture. Derek Mason, former head coach in the SEC. Mike Bobo was at Georgia for forever. You know, Will Friend, offensive line coach, was in the SEC for a long time. You keep Cadillac in as kind of a bridge from the last staff to the new staff. Cornelius Williams has been all over the state of Alabama as your new wide receivers coach. So it's a really, really good mix. And I think, you know, they're going to have to hit the ground running here when these, you know, dead period and all that gets lifted. But, you know, he wants to be able to have guys on his staff that he trusts, that he knows, that he can lean on, that knows how he operates. But also, he brought it in to have guys that know the landscape of recruiting down here, because that's the lifeblood of college football. You got to recruit to win.
Well, a player that knows the landscape of the SEC well is Bo Nix, who has started the majority of his two seasons in the league. I think at this point, Auburn fans would hope that the conversation would be, will Bo Nix stay at Auburn for one more year, or is he heading to the NFL early? But that's not the discussion we're having going into year three for Bo Nix. So do you think, you know, could Harsin save the career for Bo Nix, or am I being overdramatic right now and saying that his career needs to be saved? Because I think a lot of people thought they had a five-star possible, you know, leader Heisman talk early on in his career, and it just hasn't gone that way.
No, it hasn't. And the thing for Bo Nix is you got to be a consistent quarterback. Everybody watches Bo Nix. You flip on the tape, you watch him. He makes about 10, 12, 15 plays a game where you're like, wow, that kid was the five-star right there. He can put it right where he wants it. Very tough to bring down when he gets out in space. And gets out in the pocket like that. He's got a good arm. He was a five-star for a reason, mm-hmm. right? It's consistency. Less than 60% completion percentage each of his first two seasons. Not going to win you a lot of ball games in the SEC. With everything going super efficient in college football with the way they pass, Bo Nix has got to become a more consistent, stable quarterback. And I wrote a story about it today at the Observer. The big thing that Brian Harsin says, being a quarterback's guy, him and Mike Bobo, they are really stressing to Bo Nix. It's like, hey, we know you got the physical talent. We know you got the experience. But what separates good quarterbacks from great quarterbacks is decision-making. And we know that Bo Nix has had some trouble. Mm-hmm. Decisions in the heat of the moment. He's forced the ball. He's gotten in some trouble with his pass protection. That's got to be a thing he's got to focus on. So they got a lot of time to work with him before they get to the start of the season. Harsin and Bobo, though, both of those guys, no quarterbacks, and they're trying to turn him into somebody who can show off that five-star talent mm-hmm. a lot more frequently.
Justin, I know you're a wrestling fan, similar to myself. I loved WrestleMania last night. There were really no Bobo matches in WrestleMania, but Auburn has a chance to meet, looking at their schedule, four out of their first five games. You look at Akron, Alabama State. At Penn State will be a challenge, but Georgia State and then LSU, who you don't know what you're going to get, that's a pretty favorable schedule for a brand-new head coach.
It is, and you know, that is a really good setup for the year because you get your first two games to kind of – you get that first one, get things out of the way, second week, easier opponent, you get to, you know, sort some things out. Then you go to Penn State, and you're going to get really tested. But before you jump right into SEC play, you're going to get one more week to kind of calm down like that and adjust from there. And I think that's going to be huge for this team. And this is a year to kind of jump in if you're Auburn. It's an odd number year. And what that means in Auburn is you get both Georgia and Alabama at home. Now, Georgia and Alabama are going to be two of the best teams in the country, if not the two best teams in the country. So it's going to be tough. But you could have gotten a lot worse of a hand drawn if you're a first-time head coach in the SEC. I think the setup, especially like you said, in the first half is really going to help this team out.
You know, when you talk about this Auburn team, there are two tanks on this team. You got Tank Bigsby, and then you got the tank that everyone's talking about this week in J.J. Pegues. Is it Pegues? How do you say his name?
Pegues.
Pegues.
Like the bird.
That's exactly what I thought. And they're making the move with him. Maybe the most unpopular move this year because I don't think we'll be seeing Pegues with the ball in his hands as much anymore.
Yeah, it is, and we talked to J.J. Pegues today, and he was like, look, you know, the coaching staff came to me and said, hey, we think you could be make a bigger impact for our team and become a really good player for us on the defensive line. And he hasn't played defensive line much, but a little bit of end in high school. Now he's moving to tackle. Nick Eason, Auburn's defensive line coach, former NFL guy, has been begging J.J. Pegues on that side of the ball. And when Pegues, they finally talked earlier in the week, or sorry, last week, and he said, you know what, I'll do whatever it takes to help out the team. And you know, as someone who loved watching J.J. Pegues run with the ball and do a lot of things, I'm going to miss it watching it personally. But big picture-wise, if he can become a really good defensive lineman at Auburn, you know that's going to be big for them. They've got a ton of depth at tight end. And number two, when you're 300 pounds and can be athletic, you can make a whole lot more money in the NFL being a defensive lineman than a tight end at that size. So I think if it works out, he's going to be in a really good spot. I know Auburn fans are going to hate not watching him with the ball in his hands anymore. Mm-hmm. I think you can, in time, if you have a little patience, he could be a really good defensive lineman.
I agree. I had an opportunity to watch him in the Alabama-Mississippi All-Star game, and I was telling Dalton during the break, he was the best player on the field in the Alabama-Mississippi All-Star game. He played on both sides of the football, so you know he can get it done. And I just look forward to seeing him progress. And I don't know if you've heard about early enrollee Lee Hunter. Talk up from Blount High School. He's another defensive tackle that I know can learn a lot from J.J. Pegues if he goes on that side of the football. They can learn together. And those are two huge run stoppers that Auburn will have at that position.
Yeah, and let me tell you, I mean, you guys obviously know it from his time down at Blount. This dude is disruptive as a defensive lineman. He is a big-time playmaker. And, you know, we got to watch a full open practice at the beginning of camp. And I spent a lot of time looking at the defensive line. You know, these early enrollees, what they're doing with them right now is just kind of getting them adjusted, getting them ready to go for practice. By the time they hit fall camp, then you can make a push. And I watched Lee Hunter in these drills, and I'm telling y'all, he has got some violent hands. He has got really, really good hands. You know, great power, great explosion. He's just going to have to learn how to play at this level, adjust to this new defense. But, man, Nick Eason is going to do some work with that guy. He might not be a star this year just because of the depth Auburn's got on the defensive line. But man, I really like Lee Hunter. I think he's got a great bat ahead of him, man. Just so naturally skilled. I think you're going to see him on the football field sooner rather than later for the Tigers.
That's great to hear. And of course, we're also following Roger McCreary's career from down here as well. And it'll be interesting to see what he looks like on that revamped defense. Not a whole lot of time left here, Justin. Just want to talk a little bit about basketball. Of course, this year, Didn't expect much because of the self-imposed suspension, but we did have a good time watching Sharif Cooper get out there and make some plays. And Corey and I were just discussing how different the college basketball landscape is now with the transfer portal rules. But I think going into next year, Auburn is a team that should be mentioned right there with the Alabamas, Tennessees, Arkansas, and Kentucky as favorites for next year's SEC.
Yeah, I mean, they got a whole lot better a few hours ago when they picked up Walker Kessler from North Carolina. This is a five-star. He will be the number two player Auburn has ever signed in terms of a recruit, former recruit. And the number one guy, Jabari Smith, is coming in with him as a power forward spot, a guy who's a potential one-and-done player for the NBA. And yeah, this Auburn team went through a ton of took their ton of lumps this past season, but the way they're going to revamp this roster, losing Sharif Cooper's tough. They've got one of the most exciting mid-major point guard transfers in the country, and Wendell Green Jr. coming in.
Yeah.
Losing Justin Powell and Jamal Johnson's tough. You bring in Zed Jasper, lockdown defender who can score from anywhere on the floor. Trey Alexander is going to be a big pickup for them, top 60 guard. I mean, this is going to be a really, really fun team that, you know, the guys who are coming back learned a lot of the lessons from last year. The new guys coming in, I think, are going to be able to push the pace and make Auburn a more balanced scoring team. They're going to be fun. They're going to be a whole lot of fun.
Yeah.
So I think Auburn fans, it was a tough year, I know, especially with the way Alabama was playing. I think they're going to be right there with them next season.
What's your worry level on additional punishments from the NCAA? Is that even something being discussed right now?
That's a great question, because when Auburn said that they were not going to make the play in the postseason this past season, one of the first questions to Bruce Pearl was, is it over? And he says, we don't think so yet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting to see. We've seen some schools slap this. We've seen some schools kind of go unscathed right now. I do know that when Auburn took that postseason ban, they did it so they would alleviate kind of the burdens moving forward. I think, you know, in terms of potential problems, I don't think a postseason ban is probably in the future. They might get docked a scholarship down the road. That's speculation on my part.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the NCAA will have to start passing out some of this stuff quickly, because there's a lot of schools that are under their watchful eye, and it's been years now. We haven't heard anything yet, but according to Auburn, they're not blitzed completely yet until the NCAA says so.
Yeah, I think I can speak for everyone. Regardless of what happens, let's just go ahead and wrap this up so everyone knows.
Yep.
All right, great stuff, Justin. Really appreciate the talk tonight. You gave us some fantastic insight. Remind people how they can get signed up at auburnobserver.com for this information.
Auburnobserver.com is where you can check it out. You type it in there. They'll ask you for your email address. Type it in there, hit the subscribe button, and we'll continue to it'll send you an email to give you all the instructions on how to pay and get all the access. And like I said, whatever we do, podcasts, writing, football and basketball, send to your email inbox at auburnobserver.com. So check that out, and y'all can follow me on Twitter at jfergusonau.
Great stuff. All right, we appreciate it, Justin.
All right, y'all be good.
That's Justin Ferguson. He writes at auburnobserver.com, and a man that knows plenty about the Auburn Tigers athletic program.
Looking forward to recording that and watching that to see what they're going to show. I know they're going to show some base stuff, but to actually see them in action, looking forward to it.
Yeah, can't wait. All right, when we get back, let's talk about the newest addition to college football, Eddie George. Was this a Deion Sanders move on Eddie's part? And also the Senior Bowl Hall of Fame announced. More on that coming up. Sports Night, FM Talk 106.5.
So good, baby.
Shake it.
It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. Dalton Orwig, Corey LeBounty, Ian Blair on this Monday night. And we're now squarely in baseball season. I've been having a blast watching a little bit of baseball this year. Of course, people mixing my sports and politics once again, so have a tough decision to make. But fortunately, the sports books on my phone make that decision for me.
There you go.
That's what I end up watching, and that's what I like to talk about. And, Corey, some big news this afternoon in college football. And we know that Deion Sanders went to become the head coach at Jackson State.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously he's the biggest name to pass through Jackson State in a long time. And now a similar move to Tennessee State in Nashville, named their next head coach, and their current head coach isn't even done coaching, but they went ahead and named their next head coach, Eddie George, stepping in. to replace Ron Reed. And Eddie, of course, big-time NFLer with the Tennessee Titans. He was actually with the Houston Oilers for a year or two as they transitioned to becoming the Titans. But take it from me, big, huge name in Nashville still. Eddie George, is his name carries some weight in that region of the country, even though he came from Ohio State, won the Heisman up there, of course. But Nashville is kind of where he's decided to live his life since his retirement. What do you think about Eddie George coming to TSU? I think another huge move for D3.
You know, he's an unproven college coach, but he has a lot of great knowledge. And if you surround yourself with outstanding assistant coaches, one that's currently there, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, I think will help him tremendously, the former NFL cornerback. When you have coaches who have already experienced the game, sometimes you're their head coach in name and you're a motivating speaker, you're a great recruiter, and you understand X's and O's, but you get people around you who know a lot more than you do. I think that's a great hire for another HBCU.
Yeah, well, the staff he's putting together. So you said Rodgers-Cromartie, he's already on the TSU
yes,
staff?
Correct.
Well, they're adding, for the offensive coordinator, Hugh Jackson.
Wow.
Yeah, former NFL. Cleveland coach will be coming down to be the OC. DC is the son of Jeff Fisher, Brandon Fisher. Of course, Eddie knows the Fisher family well after his years with the Titans. And this is rumored, Blaine Bishop actually put this out there, Rod Woodson expected to be the defensive backs coach for the Tennessee State Tigers.
You know, the thing is, Dalton, the only thing that can happen is it doesn't work for you. You're going to sell tickets, and when you're an HBCU, the splash that Deion Sanders made from an apparel standpoint, from a ticket standpoint, that's what you need. You need revenue pumped into your program, interest and excitement, and that's what Eddie George will do.
Well, a big announcement also this week, the Senior Bowl Hall of Fame class announced, and next week, I believe, we will be talking with the Senior Bowl Executive Director, Jim Nagy, who will be joining the show, heading into the NFL draft at the end of this month. We'll get his take on all of the players that are entering. I want to thank tonight Unique Thompson for coming on and wish her the best of luck in this week's WNBA draft. And also Justin Ferguson with the Auburn Observer. Check him out, auburnobserver.com. And we'll see you same time, same place next week on Sports Night, FM Talk 106.5. It's your boy Kanye Titter.